Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we'll read verses 161 through 168. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 119, verses 161 through 168. Psalm 119, 161 through 168. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation, and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, thank you that you love us. Thank you for its obvious presence of the Holy Spirit here today. Now, Father, I pray that you would do that which only you can do. Lord, these hundreds and hundreds and yea, even over 1,000 people, I'm sure, here today, there's no way that one person could meet all those needs, but you could. You could work through the preacher today. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. May our hearts and our minds and our ears be attentive to you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Oh, thank God. Thank God for songs like that. This morning in the sermon, I think we'll salvage someone's future here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I never preach a sermon with someone particular in mind. But I'm sorry, I can't help but hope that this sermon helps some people that struggle in this area. Somebody here desperately needs to hear this, and not just hear it, let it affect your life. Some here stand a chance of being offended by today's sermon. I'll tell you why. The title is this, How Not to Be Offended. How Not to Be Offended. There are people here, you do not know how not to be offended. And so you're repetitively offended. You live your life offended. Every week of your life, somebody offends you, and you're miserable because of it. I hate that for you. I really do. Some here are so easily offended, it is as predictable as a road sign. Those of us that are approaching you, we see the sign, here it comes, and we know it's coming. I don't know if you see it in yourself, and many of you do not, but you need to see it, and you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to see it. Let me tell you this. In a church like ours, you lose 100 times more people from church by offenses than you do by doctrinal differences. When people don't get along or offenses come, there are those that will leave, and you really hate to see that happen. I can help you if you'll let me. I'm going to teach you. This might get a little preachy along the way. It's going to be a little more teachy, but if you say I came to hear you throw a fit, well, if you just keep coming for a little while, I'll guarantee you will hear me throw a fit. I throw more fits in announcement time than the average preacher does in his lifetime. We preach during announcements around here, not just during the preaching. The sermon is called How Not to Be Offended. And this is something we need to learn, all of us, everybody here. Everybody here is going to need this. Some, you need it desperately. One of those great verses of the Bible, we even sometimes quote it almost jokingly, Psalm 119, 165, that says, Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What a great verse. What a great verse. But anybody here that's been around church much, when somebody's upset and you think you want to say something to them, you say, Now great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We use that verse, but let me tell you something. It's true. It's true. The verse is true. Today, people wear their feelings on their cuff. and I'm going to use this cordless mic. Today, at the drop of a hat, people are offended. Ask yourself this question. Are you easy to offend? Are you hard to offend? Are you constantly hurt by people? You know what every one of us need to do? We need to know what offends us. You better figure out what offends you so you can work on it. Some of you, you've been dealing with the same offense in the same category all these years, and you've never approached it and said, you know, I need to do something about that right there. When I'm approached about this, or I see this particular topic coming, I'm like a road sign. The offense is coming. I asked Mrs. Owens, I was thinking through my life trying to figure out what offends me. I couldn't think of anything. So I asked my wife, just like that. She said, have you thought about this? So long. No, and you just offended me. I asked her, and she said, oh, honey. She said, when you're doing carpentry work, and I come around to be a part, let me explain my side of this, first of all. Her father was a master craftsman. Her brothers are good carpenters. And I'll be doing some carpentry work, and she'll come up. She didn't even have to say a word to me. I think in her brain she's thinking, well, my dad wouldn't have done it that way. My brother wouldn't have done it that way. So she didn't have to say a thing. Now, at first, it got a little rough. She'd come around, she'd say, well, have you thought about, I'm thinking, have you thought about shutting up? I think I probably have said that a couple times. You men are getting into this. You know what I'm talking about. Stay with me now, men. Don't forsake me right here. And anytime I'm doing carpentry work, and she starts walking toward me, I'm thinking, get out of here. Don't you come tell me how you think it might look better or what you think I ought to do. And I have to admit, it's an area of offense to me. It's my weakness. So I must work on that. Now, there are some of you, you have many areas of offense, many areas where you're affected like that. I'll tell you an area that's hard on me when people try to tell me what to preach. Now, first of all, I'm obligated by God to preach what God tells me to preach, and nobody tells me what to preach. But I have people that I analyze my preaching and tell me I'm not doing enough of this and doing enough of that. And usually, if people couldn't preach their way out of a wet paper bag if they wanted to, not build a popsicle stand so they don't know anything about building a church. But it's hard on me. When people make negative comments about my preaching, it's something I work at. I've got to be careful. I've got to be careful not to be offended by it. It's an area that I must work on. Christians, according to Psalm 119, 165, are to be hard to offend. You and I, as Christians, we're to be hard to offend. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 11, 6, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in thee. I think we're being told we're not supposed to be offended. Those are the words of Jesus. And it also says there in verse number 11, Matthew 11, 6, it says, and blessed is he. Now, I believe there is a tremendous blessing of life if you can get yourself to the point where you're not offended all the time. I think there is a great peace by not being offended. There's a reward by not being offended. Some of you live your life in a miserable way because you go around offended all the time, just all the time. And you're thinking it's all those people. You know, you can't change those people. There's only one that you can change. That's you. Are you offended by the Word of God? The Bible says in Matthew 13, 21, yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the Word of God, by and by he's offended. He's offended. Make sure you take him out if he gets too disruptive here. Here the Bible says that someone
is offended as a result of the Word of God. Do you know today both lost and saved get offended by the Word of God? And just so you all know, in the society in which we live, as it gets more and more socialistic and it gets more and more liberal, more and more the old black book becomes offensive to people. But it shouldn't be that Christians are offended with God's Word. That's, the lost maybe get offended by it, but should us Christians be offended by God's Word? Hey, are you offended by Jesus? The Bible says in Matthew 13, verse 55, 56, and 57, it says, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own household. Do you realize here it says they were offended with Jesus? Somebody was offended with Jesus. Are you offended with the fact that Jesus wants to have control of every part of your life all day long, every day, all week long, all month long, every month of every year? Does that offend you? Now, that might offend somebody that doesn't love God, but it shouldn't offend somebody that loves God. John 16, 1 says, these things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. You know, God's virtually commanding us, don't be offended. He doesn't want us offended. Do you realize how much this thing of offense hurts people, hurts the church? Do you have any idea? Listen to this verse. Proverbs 18, verse number 19 says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. God predicts if you lower yourself and allow yourself to be offended, you may never be won back. Listen to the verse. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. You say, well, somebody shouldn't offend me. You can't stop people from being what they're going to be. But you can keep you from being offended. I can't stop what you're going to do to me. You can't stop what I'm going to do to you. But I can stop what I'm going to do to me. And you can stop what you're going to do to you. And here it says, you may allow yourself to be offended and you may be at odds with somebody for the rest of your life. There are people out there that tend to have what we might even consider permanent enemies. Well, I don't think that's necessary, but people like that. And it's the fault of two. And then you get offended, you're a walking time bomb in the local New Testament church. People offend enough, they're a walking time bomb in the church. It's waiting to explode. Offended people, people that are repetitively offended, they hurt others. People that are repetitively offended, they hurt their church. People that are repetitively offended hurt themselves. I would like to help you not to hurt you. I want to help you so you don't hurt you. You say, well, if you would, Brother Owens, if you could protect me so people won't hurt me, I can't do that. I can't stop people from doing what people do. All I can do is get you to do what you ought to do. And if you will do what you ought to do, when they're doing wrong, you can weather the storm and you can live through this thing as a successful Christian. Let me show you what I mean. I'm going to be very practical, but if you'll let me, some of you need to take this sermon and it needs to become a life, a series of principles for your life. Don't let this be one of those sermons where you heard it and you said, boy, that was good. You go home and you can't remember what was preached on Monday. Some of you, you better take this and you better develop some principles in your life. You won't last in the church for long. Some of you won't last married to your mate for long. Too much offense going on. Say, what do I do? Let me start at the most obvious place. If you don't want to be offended, love the Word of God. Love the Word of God. Again, Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, that's wonderful. Notice the result. Nothing shall offend them. Boy, if I could get that. And so you know, this is a big dog. This is the humdinger of all the principles. I mean, if everything I'm going to say today, if you'll get this, it's going to help you immensely. That word nothing there means nothing. Means nothing. Great peace have they? Hey, it's not promising you just peace. That's not just peace, that's great peace. That's not average peace, it's great peace. It's not just an above average peace, it's great peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now notice the act that produces this, nothing shall offend them though. It says, which love thy law. It doesn't say if you admire the Bible, it says you have to love it. It doesn't say if you like the Bible. No, you have to love it. It doesn't say you glance at it every once in a while. It says, no, you love it. You're passionate about it. It's not your favorable of some of the things in it. No, you love it. It's not something. It's not where you say, well, whatever God said, I'll consider it. No, you love it. It's not that you say, well, I'm fond of the Word of God. No, you love it. 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 It's not you carry your Bible to church to make yourself look good. You've been carrying it all week long. You've been taking it everywhere you go. You've been reading it. You realize it's a love letter between you and God, and you love reading that letter every day of your life. Great peace have they which love thy law. You love its truth. You love to meditate on its truth. You love to live it. You're not ashamed to look like it tells you to look or to act the way it tells you to act. You look for things to change about you so you're more like Him. You love to memorize it. You, matter of fact, you have memorized some of it recently. Why? You love it. You love it. You love to read it. You have been reading it. You have been reading it recently. If you love it, you have been. You love to hear it preached. You're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We have a special meeting. You say, I'm going. I want to go hear the Word of God. I want to hear it. I love it. I love it. I love its preaching. I love its reading. I love to hear it sang about. I love the Word of God. You say, I even have CDs, and I carry them around. We listen to preaching of the Word of God at home, and we listen to preaching of the Word of God in our truck, and we listen to the preaching of the Word of God in our car. Why? Because I love it. Say, what's your big deal? Those of you that don't, you're offended. You get offended. You live your life offended. You see, folks, when we're offended, we have told on ourselves. When we're offended, we have told on ourselves. We're not loving the Word of God to the degree that we should. You can't keep people from being offensive, but you can keep you from being offended. Let me say it again. You can't keep people from being offensive, but you can keep you from being offended. You see, first of all, you say, I don't want to be offended. If you don't want to be offended, love the Word of God. Don't just play around. Fall in love with it all day long, every day. That'll keep you from being offended. Number two, if you don't want to be offended, then don't want things. If you don't want to be offended, don't want things. I'll show you what I mean. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The word conversation there, it's your lifestyle, it's your testimony. It ought to be your testimony that you are satisfied with what you have. It says, be content. God tells you and I, let's face it, one of the Ten Commandments is that you're not to covet. People that covet find themselves offended often. I said, if you don't want to be offended, what do you need to do? You need to make sure that you don't want things. When we want things, we set ourselves up for disappointment and offense. See, when I have something that you want and you don't get it, you may be offended with me because you didn't get what you wanted. So you say, what am I going to do? Don't want anything. Some of you are old enough in the Christian life and old enough in life in general, and some of you young people, you don't understand it when the older people say, I really don't want anything. I don't want anything. What a boring life. No, it's a very secure life. It's a very secure life not to want anything. I don't walk around offended all the time because somebody got something I wanted because I didn't want anything. Some of you are emotional basket cases because of your covetousness. You want, you want, you want, and when you don't get, you're offended. See, there is less chance for offense if there's less that you want. When you ask for anything, you have now set yourself up to be offended. Anytime you ask for anything, now there's a chance that you could be offended. Why? They may say no. You may not get it. Now you have put yourself in a situation of potential offense. You know, people who are satisfied with what they have are offended far less in life in general. There's some of you, you will not even stay at your current place of employment. I'll tell you why. You want the next promotion and you're going to be offended if you don't get it. Now, I'm for moving up in the workplace, but I'm not going to be offended if I don't get the promotion that I want. I still need a job. Hey, when we become stingy, we are easily offended. You, look, don't want a compliment. So when you don't get a compliment, you won't be offended. I mean, folks, I'm telling you, there are people in here, you walk around wanting a compliment. And when you don't get the compliment, you're offended. Why don't you just not want the compliment? And then if you get the compliment, hey, it's the berries, it's the icing on top of the cake. But if not, you're going to be offended because somebody's going to miss it. You say, I got a brand new dress. And nobody even recognized it. We were looking at you and you're so beautiful, you outshadow the dress. Do you know how many people get offended because they want a compliment? If you didn't want a compliment, then you wouldn't be offended when you don't get a compliment. You say, but I want, let me tell you something. You're depending on somebody else and throwing your emotions out there and making them very vulnerable. Don't want praise. So when you don't get praise, you won't be offended. Don't want a gift. So when you don't get a gift, you won't be offended. I know a pastor. I had to help a pastor, and I hope he hears this. It'll be good for him. Pastor had celebrated like his 25th anniversary at his church, and he really thought that his people were going to put on some sort of a shindig and send him to Hawaii and buy him a new bicycle or something. I don't know what he was expecting. But it didn't happen. The Sunday came, and it passed. He called me depressed. That's a pizza right there. I don't want it, but I will take it. Turn your cell phone off. Told you to do that earlier. This pastor, he was down and depressed. He said, they don't love me. They don't appreciate me. You know what? He was sitting on the edge of his seat during the Sunday of the 25th anniversary expecting someone to do something for him. Now, I'll tell you what I did. I'm very close to his people. They trust me. I went to a couple of his people. I said, hey, let me help you plan something for your preacher. They said, oh, we forgot. And we love him. We would have never. I said, well, let me help you plan. And we planned a little something for him. But I'm going to tell you, for weeks, he was down. Why? He wanted. He did not get. He was offended. And I believe that maybe had I not stepped up and fixed that thing a little bit for him, he may have quit that church. But let me tell you something, folks. Wanting things sets yourself up for offense. Don't want special treatment. So then when you don't get it, you won't be offended. Don't want recognized. So when you don't get recognized, you won't be offended. First of all, fall in love with the Word of God. Secondly, don't want things. Now, some of you, if you do those two things, you'll stay in the church for a long, you'll become one of those long-term members. But if you don't get it, you'll be gone. And then somebody will chase you off from somewhere else. And it's not them, it's because you can't deal with humanity. You're going to have to learn how to live with people. You can't change people. You can only change you. Number three, what else can I do if I don't want to be offended? Don't want position. Don't want position. Matthew 23, verse 11 and 12 says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Here the Bible says, if you go to exalting yourself, you're going to be abased. And in other words, eventually, you're going to be knocked down. You'll be offended. You want to promote you. You're putting yourself in a position now where you could be offended. You go throw you out there and say, hey, why don't you pick me. Okay, now wonder if we don't. By wanting position, we set ourselves up to be offended. If you want a position and it goes to somebody else, you stand a chance of offense. Say, I wanted to be that Sunday school teacher. I wanted to be that bus captain. I wanted to be that deacon. I wanted that staff position. I wanted. Folks, the more you want, the greater the chance of you being offended. Don't covet a position. Want what you have. That is so hard for people to understand today. Want what you have. Can I help your marriage right now? Want your wife. Want your husband. Want what you have. Some of you are miserable at work all day long. Can I tell you something? Could you just go to work and want what you have? Here the Bible's talking about being a servant. We ought to want to be a servant. Want to be a servant. I read this verse to you a couple times last Sunday. Let me read it again. The Bible says in 3 John, verse number 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Here, Diotrephes loveth to have preeminence. He was a position seeker. Position seekers are often offended and sooner or later become bitter. When position seekers don't get the position that they want, there's usually a root of bitterness that's sealed inside them, and it festers, and eventually it gets to them. Hey, listen, let an offered position surprise you. Let it delight you. Hey, if somebody comes along and says, hey, I was wondering if you would do this, let's hope in your heart you go, wow, I wasn't expecting that. Not expecting it has a lot to do with the quality of your humility. You say, well, I deserve. The more you think you deserve, the less apt you are to be surprised and the more apt you are to be offended. Hey, I was, 2 years ago, I was offered an opportunity to preach at a certain national conference. Well, I even told my secretary when she took the request, the call, gave me the request, I said, I'm shocked. I'm pleased, but I'm shocked. I was with a fellow about 3 months later. He said, I see you're preaching at the such and such. I said, I am. I can't believe it. He said, they didn't call me. I could tell he was hurt. He was expecting it. I wasn't. He was offended. I wasn't. When you expect and you don't get, you're going to be offended. You see, don't want position, don't want things. Want the Word of God. Love the Word of God. Let that satisfy your life, and you're not going to be offended as often. Let me give you another one, number 4. Oh, and this is so important. If you don't want to be offended, love because of you, not because of them. Love because of you, not because of them. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Notice God commands that we love others no matter how they behave and feel toward us. Remember, I told you, you can't stop people from being rude or being unkind or attempting to hurt you. You can only stop you from being hurt. I can't stop you from trying to offend me. I can just stop me from being offended with you. You say, well, if everybody would just change, no, you need to change. It's not an option for everybody else to change. They'll have to take care of that themselves. You change. You change you. You know, when I do marriage counseling, I have never said to one man, go change your wife. I've never said to one woman, go change your husband. Never. I know secular counselors that are full of prunes. Mister, you ought to try to get your wife to change in that area. Are you nuts? There ain't a man alive that can change a woman. And worse than that, there's not a woman alive that can change a man. Matter of fact, you try and we're going to buck. You tell me to get off on the next exit, I'm driving 2 more exits just to prove to you who I am. I have never in all the thousands and thousands and thousands of marriage counseling appointments that I have had ever told a man to change his wife or a wife to change her husband. But I've said to many a man, you change you. And I've said to many a lady, you change you. And if I could get both of you to do what you're to do, we could fix your marriage. You say, well, my husband won't do what he's supposed to do. Then you do your part and let the problem be him, not you. But listen, you've got to love because of you, not because of them. This verse tells us we're to love our enemies. Love should be caused by the condition of the heart of the lover, not the condition of the one being loved. Let me say it again. Love should be caused by the condition of the heart of the lover, not the condition of the one being loved. God does not love us because of what we are. God loves us because of what He is, and you better thank God for that. When you were unlovely, when you had turned your back on Him, when you had committed adultery on Him, when you had denied Him what He wanted, He loved you anyway. Why? God loves because of what God is, not because of the object of the love. Offense comes when you love and expect something in exchange. Love, you say, what are you telling me? Love and don't expect anything back. Just love because you want to love. Love because you're supposed to love. Benefits. Look, if you will love expecting nothing in exchange, how could you ever be offended from this point on? Say, I'm going to love because it's right to love. But most of you, you're like a couple grade schoolers on the playground. He hit me. I hit him. He threw a rock at me. I threw a rock at him. When are Christians going to grow up and realize you're not to throw the rock back? Knock it off. I'm mad at him. He's mad at me. We spank our children for that kind of behavior. And so I've asked the deacons to bring a paddle. I'm going to line you all up, and you're getting it today. We're going to form the line right over here. You say, how are you going to do that? Aaron Chris has agreed to help me. Nah. Listen, lots of offense in marriage because of this. One does not feel like their love is being properly exchanged. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Say, but she won't. You knock off the she won't and you do what he should. Love your wife. You say that she's changed. Love your wife. But she, her cooking. Love your wife. But she's mouthy. Love your wife. Love her. You say, well, I'll only give as much love as I get in exchange. You better thank God he doesn't behave that way or you'd be in hell right now, buddy. You don't want to be offended. You do your loving, and you do it because of what you are, not because of the object. I'd be out of the ministry today if it had to be an equal exchange. Pure love does not demand anything in trade. Matter of fact, you've never really loved until you have loved someone who can give you nothing back. The purest of love is a love that is not for exchange. The great lovers in life, and let me warn you, the great lovers in life rarely find anyone that will love them like they love. Hey, the better you get at loving, the lonelier your life will get. Because the better you get at loving, you love expecting nothing in trade, and very few people will love like that. So you'll find yourself lonely. You say, well, if I learn to love to that degree, Brother Owens, where can I go? The great lover of my soul. Because you can never outlove the great lover, Jesus. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you don't want to be offended, I'm teaching you how today. The hard part about this is not listening to it because I'm sure of it. I'm 100% sure what I'm teaching you. I deal with people every day of my life. I can take every one of you that have been offended and sat in my office offended with me or with anybody else, and I can show you if you would have practiced one of these points, you would have never been offended. If I would have practiced one of these points, I would have never been offended. I know exactly what I'm teaching. It's easy to listen to. If you've got a mind at all and you're saved, your logic right now is saying, boy, that is exactly right. That is very good. That is right down the line. The hard part is not listening to it. It's applying it to your everyday life. Going back to it when you, 3 weeks from now, when you're offended, saying, uh-oh, I let it happen to me, instead of saying, well, if she wouldn't have, if he wouldn't have. No, how about if I wouldn't have? If I wouldn't have? If I wouldn't have? Love the Word of God. Love the Word of God. Don't want things. Don't want position. Love because of what you are, not because of the object of your love. Next. Number 5, do not let criticism be taken personally. That'll keep you from being offended. Don't let criticism become personal with you, and you won't be offended. The Bible says in Psalm 141, verse 5, it says, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. There's a good attitude. There's somebody with a good attitude. Said, the righteous smote me, but I'm not going to let that destroy me. Somebody had to reprove me, but I'm not going to let that tear me up. Let me tell you what I do. I see my critics as broken people rather than bad people. If not, I'd be a bitter man. When somebody attacks me, when somebody's rude to me, when someone is on my case and they'd like to destroy Jeff Owens, I immediately think, there's something broken in their heart. There's something broken in their life. That's why they're behaving that way. I have this microphone. If this microphone were broken right now, I would not throw it in the trash. I'd give it to Brother Williamson. I'd say, let's see if we can fix it. First thing I do with broken things is I try to fix them. And some of you would see your critics as broken. You would not be as offended. You get that? If you would see your critics as broken, you would not be as offended. So when my microphone is broken, I don't throw it away. I hope that it can be repaired. When someone is a critic, they are broken, and I don't want to throw them away. I'd like to see them get fixed. You'll see us regain lots of people in our church. They'll get backslidden, get away from God, and we'll regain them. And I'll tell you one reason why. Your pastor doesn't believe in throwing that which is broken away. Even if I am the object of the break, I want to fix it. I want to fix that which is broken. You're less apt to be offended if you'll develop this attitude about your critics. I try to take correction instead of seeing it as something between me and the one who delivered it. I try to see it between me and my fault. This is something some of you men in leadership need to get this. Stop taking correction as something between you and the person that gave it to you and take it between you and your fault. It's between you and you. Let your critics' words help you. Now, they heard it first. I'm no super Christian. You criticize me, I hurt. I have a heart. I have feelings. I have emotions. I care. You criticize me and I hurt, but I will not let the hurt overwhelm the way I behave. I immediately say, if you hurt me and you meant to, you're broken because that's not Christianity. I'd like to fix you. But now I better look at what you just said about me. I'm going to analyze it. And instead of this becoming an issue between me and my critic, I'm going to let it become an issue between me and my fault. And I want to fix that fault. And if there's any justification in their criticism of me at all, I want to fix it so they cannot justifiably criticize again. Are you getting it? Let your critics' words help you. See your critics as, you know, sometimes, I know this, my critics are untrained people. You remember what I told you earlier? A lot of the people that would criticize my preaching, they've never preached a sermon in their life. They just think they know. They read some book about it. They read some book about what they thought ought to happen, and it's written by some dead theologian that never built anything. They heard somebody say something about it. I just look at it and say, they don't know. They criticize something. They're not a professional in the area. So I can look at my critics, I can say they're untrained. I look at my critics and I say they're broken. But everybody must learn to deal with criticism properly. Everybody. Listen, I'm not justifying criticism. I say nobody should speak words of offense. Nobody. Nobody. We shouldn't have to deal with all sorts of offense around here. You shouldn't speak words of offense. You ought to behave yourself in such a way that you're not offensive. But remember, I can't change what you say. I can only change how I respond to what you say. You will not survive in the church if you can't take criticism. It's going to come to everybody. And the more visual you are, the more leadership that you demonstrate, the more you'll be criticized. I don't think I agree with everything that the President of the United States does. Boy, does he get slammed. Say, what do you admire about him most? Maybe just enough backbone to hang in there. I don't know if I could take being beaten all day long every day. By everybody, every side. Philosophically, he and I are not on the same page. We're not even in the same book. But I do look at the man and say, good night, what a beating. I have a certain admiration for somebody that can take a licking and keep on ticking. So what am I saying? Do not let criticism be taken personally. If every time you're criticized, it just becomes this personal issue, and that's how some people are. Every time there's a criticism, it becomes a personal issue, and then it festers, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Before long, you're going to Fish City. You're just throwing words around and attacking and grow up. Yeah. Let me give you another one, number six. If you don't want to be offended, don't fight back when somebody tries to offend you. If you don't want to be offended, don't fight back when somebody tries to offend you. Romans chapter 12, verse number 19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." You all heard that verse, vengeance is mine. If you don't want to be offended when somebody tries to offend you, let vengeance fall into God's category. Don't you try to attack back. If you fight back when offense has come, you're setting yourself up for even more offense. Don't seek revenge. There's two levels of not seeking revenge. First of all, I don't seek revenge on those that attack me. Now, there are some people say, well, you know what? I'm not going to seek revenge on those that attack me. But then they glory in the thought that God's going to kill their enemy. I don't glory in the fact that God will kill my enemy either. Kindergarten, not seeking revenge, attaches to it, well, I hope God slams them. That's kindergarten, not seeking revenge. You want to get a doctorate in not seeking revenge, then you say, I'm not going to seek revenge, and I'm going to pray that God will treat them gently. Don't fight back when somebody tries to destroy you. If you fight back when offense has come, you're just asking for more offense. Before long, that offense turns into an offense exchange. This is what happens. This happens in marriages. He offends, she offends, he offends, she offends. Oh, you want to pull something out from 5 years ago? Well, what about? Tit for tat. Punch for punch. Low-level offense exchange for low-level offense. Medium-range offense exchange for medium-range offense. Big offense exchange for big offense. We're just going to go at it till somebody goes down. You call that Christianity?
Well, yeah.
I like this. Susie's husband had been slipping in and out of a coma for several weeks. Things looked grim, but she was by his bedside every single day. One day, as he slipped back into consciousness, he motioned for her to come close to him. She pulled the chair close to the hospital bed, leaned her ear over close so she could hear him. "You know," he whispered, his eyes filling with tears, "you've been with me through all the bad times. When I got fired, you stuck right beside me. When my business went under, you were there. When we lost the house, you were there. When I got shot, you stuck with me. When my health started to fail, you were still by my side. And you know what, honey?" "What, dear?" she asked gently, smiling. He said, I figured out you're bad luck, woman. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The average Christian in this house has not figured that out. You don't really know what that verse is teaching. You better figure out what offends you, and you better start figuring out how to fix it so you're not offended, and stop blaming everybody else that you're offended. You're offended because of you. You get that? You're offended because of you. And I am offended because of me. Because I can't stop you from behaving any way you want to behave, but I can keep me behaving right. And so what am I going to do? Love the Word of God. What am I going to do? I don't want things. What am I going to do? I don't want promotion. What am I going to do? I'm going to love because of me, not because of you. What am I going to do? I'm not going to take criticism personally. Well, what am I going to do? I'm not going to fight back. I'll just leave it to God. Acts 8:32, it says, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. That's exactly what Jesus did when they were offending him. When they were offending him, he wasn't trying to start a war with them. When somebody tries to offend, don't you lower yourself to their behavior. You've heard of the golden rule? Practice the golden rule even in the area of offense. How should you be behaving toward them? The way they should be behaving toward you. Let me go on quickly. Number 7. You don't want to be offended? You need to walk in the Spirit. Let me explain. Any of you that are new Christians, the day you got saved, you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. When he did, in the person of the Holy Spirit, he came in and he was sealed inside you. He's there to help you to live right. He's there to help you understand the Scripture. He's there to prompt you and correct you and comfort you. Living inside you is the Spirit of God. And you are to submit yourself to the Spirit of God. Being offended is a work of the flesh. Being offended is a work of the flesh. You're offended in the moments that you're not in the Spirit, but you're in the flesh. Look, folks, when you see potential offense coming, get to the Spirit of God right away and say, I submit myself to you, and I don't want to be offended. You say, mean you can see it coming? Yeah, if you know yourself. Next time I'm working on the deck and Mrs. Owens comes out to talk to me about what I'm doing, I've got to say, Spirit of God, please help me. Then I'll say to Mrs. Owens, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm telling you, folks, you can see it coming. There are people that are offensive. They're offenders. And when you see them coming, you must say to yourself, Holy Spirit of God, I submit myself to you. I don't want to exchange tit for tat. I don't want them to wound my spirit. If they're critical, I'm going to be careful how I take it. I'm going to be careful. But there's some of you are offended because you live in the flesh. Really, the only time you feel up close to the Spirit of God is when you're under the preaching of the Word of God, and the Spirit of God is moving in this place in a mighty way, and then you walk out and you live in the flesh all week long, and you're offended with your husband and your wife and your workmates and everybody else. You need to submit to the Spirit of God and get that childish offense out of your life. If you are filled with the Spirit, you wouldn't lose your temper like that. The Spirit would have kept you from doing so. But you're not in submission. Your offended moments are the moments that you're in the flesh. Listen, all we need to do is let conviction of the Holy Spirit come before the offense rather than after. All you need is about a 3-second prompting. I'll tell you what I mean. Boy, maybe in what you say, if I'm the offender, here's what happens. I go to offend Brother Bush. If I could have caught myself 3 seconds before I did what I did and let the Holy Spirit get on me so I didn't offend him, I'd been far better off. But if I say something to him and offend him, it doesn't take long for the Holy Spirit to say just a few seconds later, why did you act that way? Well, why can't you reverse the conviction of the Holy Spirit 3 seconds before you open your mouth instead of 3 seconds after you open your mouth? If you walk in the Spirit, you won't be offended. Because that offense is a work of your flesh, not a work of your spirit. Stay with me. Let me give you just a couple more, but I'll make them very quick. Number 8, we're offended when we think too highly of ourselves. We're offended when we think too highly of ourselves. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Offense's roots can be found in our pride. When we're offended, there's an element of pride in there somewhere. You say, "Well, I'm offended. Somebody's seen my weakness." Don't you have weakness? Are you shocked that you have weakness? We're offended when somebody sees our sin or points it out to us. Don't you have sin? Oh, people can get very offended when I preach on certain sins. Well, why are you offended with me? You're the one that committed the sin. Why has it got to be personal? Why can't it be between you and your sin? You're doing the right thing by getting mad about it. You're just mad at the wrong person. Listen to this. The smarter you think you are, the easier you can be offended. So be careful. The smarter you think you are, the easier you can be offended. It's easier sometimes to offend you. You say, "Well, what do you mean by that?" I mean this. A lack of offense in a life does not come because of education. It comes by walking in the Spirit. I'm very well educated. I'm glad you are. I'm for education. Education does not work offense out of your system. Walking in the Spirit works offense out of your system. And the more that you know, the more lofty you become in your own thinking. And you better walk in the Spirit doubly. You've been around a long time and you know a lot. You better be careful. Your vanity will get you in trouble. Somebody's going to come along and offend you. Lack of offense in a life is not, the lack of offense is not produced by education. It's produced by walking with God. You know, the smarter you think you are, the easier you are to become an offender. Why? Well, and you may even be right. Some people are very right in what they know, but they're wrong in how they handle it. You've got to be careful how smart you are. Smarts do not eliminate offenses. The Holy Spirit eliminates offenses. See, if you were humble, offenses would not come to you as often. Humility eliminates offenses. You know, there are some people that I know, it just about doesn't matter what you say to them, you will not offend them. There's something about them. There's a spirit about them. Let me say this when I'm finished, and this is the last point. If you're lost, if you're unsaved, please don't be offended with your need of salvation. Please don't be offended. Galatians 5:11 says this, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased." Here the Bible talks about the offense of the cross. Just so you understand, everybody in this house, everybody's a sinner. There's only two kinds of sinners in this room right now. There are saved sinners and lost sinners. And if you die today and you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven, you're a lost sinner and you need to get saved. And here's the part that could become offensive. You can't do it yourself. None of the rest of us saved ourselves, and you can't save yourself. You say, "But I'm a pretty good person." I'm sorry. You're not good enough. You say, but I'm clean and I'm pure and I'm a good citizen. I'm glad for all that. It's not good enough. You can't work your way to heaven. Nobody ever has. Nobody ever will. There's only one way for you to get saved. That is for you to accept you're a sinner, you're a bad sinner, and you need Jesus Christ to save you. There are some who are offended by that truth. You're going to have to accept it. You can't save yourself. You have to get saved just like the rest of us and kneel down and say, "I'm a sinner. I'm bad. I can't save myself." Turn to the Savior and say, "Lord, you'll have to do all the saving here." That's how you get saved. Jesus had to die on a cross to make salvation available for you too. Everything he went through for you. He said, "Well, I wasn't that bad." Yes, you were. We're sinners. We're bad sinners. The Bible says, "As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one." That includes you. People who attempt to work their way to heaven are very offended by the doctrine that I just taught. They're very offended by it. And I decided there would be no offense in regard to the cross in my life. He died for me. I couldn't die for myself. He had to save me. I couldn't save myself. In total humility, you turn to Him and say, I can't do it. You'll have to do it. And then you get saved. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. My